I just want to speak for all of our elders and those that have come with us. We want you to know that we appreciate everything that you have sacrificed to do. And we are standing with you and know that God has greater things in store. Yes. Amen. Now that's a fact. Amen. Praise God. Amen. In the book of Hebrews tonight, chapter 13, I have several things that the Lord is ministering to me. I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13. And I just want to read one verse for a starting place. The Apostle Paul is, for again, if you know about the Apostle Paul, I made a statement the other night that he missed a lot of places, miss the Lord. You see, God never put Paul before Barnabas. He always said Barnabas and Paul. But when they began to move and have a revival, and then they began to honor Paul more than Barnabas, the Apostle Paul took the lead. And it was Paul and Barnabas. God never did intend it to be that way. God starts out something, he means it to go that way. Oh, hallelujah. And then if you go to the 15th chapter of the book of Acts, you find where Paul shaved his head like some of these folks and entered a covenant with the Jews, and even had an animal sacrifice offered for him. And then he had the audacity to jump on Peter for eating a ham omelet. Oh, hallelujah. But God is not looking for a bunch of babies. And it's high time the church began to grow up. And if God is having a kingdom, he's not going to have a kingdom of babies. And you might as well get it in your mind now and let it go down into your heart that God is looking for grown-ups, and the only way he can grow up is to be weaned from the milk. In the book of Hebrews 5 and 13, you don't have to turn there. He said, all them that are users of milk are unskillful in the word. And that word unskillful in the Greek is no experience. No experience. And if you know anything, experience is the best teacher. Well, hallelujah. And I'm looking for people of... I don't like these modern writers. I like the Puritan writers. They have more meat to give you. And it's not just a flimsy something. Well, hallelujah. So here in this 13th verse, 11th verse, the Apostle Paul, 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul said, when I was a child, and every last one of you, one time another was a child, and so many of you today have not grown up in the spirit realm out of childhood. But he said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. And that I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But, thank God, when I became a man, I put away all of these childish things. I'm wondering tonight, how many of you are putting away childish things? Well, you look like you're grown up, but I wonder how many of you have put away childish things. If you know a child, if you've ever observed children, they are always wanting what the other one has. And they are always not satisfied with what they have. And what they have is the same thing that the other one have. But they have magnified the others greater than theirs. Now that's where it comes in, casting down imaginations. Learn to grow up, hallelujah, and quit talking like a baby. You'd be surprised how many people has to have everything their way in the church. And if it's not their way, I'll just take my bat and ball and go home. That kind of thinking is wrong. And so the Apostle Paul says that you have to grow up, quit talking like a child, quit thinking like a child. Glory. Put away all childish things because you're growing up to be a man. Now in Isaiah chapter 55 verse 8 it says, God said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Because God's mature and you are not. You're still thinking like a baby. You're a child. God is looking for men and women in this hour that will move and operate in the power of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Then Apostle Paul says in chapter 3, 1 Corinthians, and in verse 1. He said, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. Do you hear what he's saying? Yeah. Paul said, I can't preach to you. I can't speak to you that which is spiritual. Why? Because you're a child. And he said, I have to feed you with milk and not the meat of the word. Now the meat of the word, if you want the right interpretation of the meat of the word, it's the revelation of the word of God. It's a revelation on the word of God. It's not just reading the word of God. It's not just meditating on the word of God. It's a divine revelation that lifts you in to a higher dimension of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. He said, I had to be as preaching to you or speaking to you as unto carnal, even as unto babes. Well, hallelujah. Now we are realizing that there's more to this than just milk. David himself says, I have behaved myself as a child weaned from his mother. Hannah would not take Samuel to the temple until she weaned him. And then she made him a new colt every year. Oh, glory to God. And if you're still wearing the old colt, get rid of it. Amen, because you're supposed to grow every year. And you're not supposed to think the same things all the time. And you're not supposed to talk the same thing all the time. I trust that the next time we come, we'll be having a different language. We'll be talking a different language. And I'm talking about growing up, hallelujah. I'm talking about the mature things of God.
Yes,
there's things that God has never revealed unto individuals yet. And we are right on the very verge, glory to God, of the powers of the world to come, that we might see and experience the great spiritual, oh, hallelujah, a revival that God is bringing about in the now. In the 102nd Psalm. Psalms 102. Begin with verse 13. You have a mic, Bob? You got one coming up.
Thou shalt arise.
Now, hallelujah. It talks about getting on a higher territory. He said that God is going to arise. Thou shalt arise.
And have mercy upon Zion.
For the time to favor her. Yea, the set time is come. Hallelujah. The set time has come. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And when we begin to realize God has in the eternities set a time, and that time has arrived upon us, and you and I must realize that God has got the time and it's set, and He's beginning to do what He has promised in Zion. Oh, hallelujah. Now you see, when you begin to read the Word of God, you've got to understand that all of this kingdom that David, I told you last night, pitched the tent, the tabernacle of David. But whenever you begin to realize what God has been doing all through the Word of God, leading you to a certain place. Amen. Hallelujah. All of the Word of God is picture form. And God is bringing you into that intimacy with Him that you have never had before. Oh, hallelujah. The Song of Solomon is so beautifully portrays that. He was courting the Shunammite, and he takes her on a stroll through the garden. He brings her to the banqueting hall. And he pops the cork. And they drink of the new wine. And all of this is to get her behind the green door. In the bedroom. Oh, glory to God. When she got in the bedroom, He was on the outside. And he said in the fifth chapter, she said, my beloved put his hand in the hole of the door. See, God's not going to embarrass you. He's not going to break in on you. But he put his hand in the hole of the door. And she said, before he did that, she said, it's the voice of my beloved. The church knows that God is speaking. But they're so lazy and so drowsy, they're not willing to get up to do anything about it. And this is the way local churches are. Oh, they love to shout when they hear a good word. But what about getting up and doing something about it? Hallelujah. You in this audience, in this fellowship, you have been challenged and got one of the greatest challenges before you. To enlarge the blessings of God upon you that you've ever had in your life. Hallelujah. But you say, I don't have nothing. That's a good place to start. Beautiful place to start. Oh, hallelujah. But you in this assembly, you have one of the greatest opportunities that is anybody in the world. For this time, the next convention or conference that we will have, I believe in you're going to be in your own facilities. Amen. And it's going to take everyone doing what God said to do. Amen. And every one of you staying in the place where God has placed you.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. And if you don't do that, God knows how to put you there. The set time has come to favor Zion. Oh, hallelujah. How many of you are ready for His favor? How many of you are ready for God to start? Oh, hallelujah. 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 Amen. Now let's drop down to verse 16.
When the Lord shall build up Zion.
Now the Lord has to do the building, or else they that build labor in vain. But the Lord shall build up Zion. Well, if He's going to build up Zion, you are going to have to grow up.
Amen.
Well, come on now. And you're going to have to put away childish things, childish thoughts, if you're going to be in the kingdom.
Amen.
For this kingdom is a kingdom, hallelujah, of mature people.
Hallelujah.
It's a kingdom that God is raising up. Oh, hallelujah. If you begin to read over in the 12th chapter of Hebrews, I call that the sons of God of the kingdom. There's sons of God in the kingdom, and then there's just sons of God growing up into the kingdom. Well, praise His name. And when you begin to realize what God is doing, He said, and the Lord will build up Zion. And when He gets Zion built up, He said, I will appear in my glory. And you see, He's not going to appear in glory until He gets Zion built up. And He's in the process of building up Zion by people that's growing up and putting away these childish things. Thank God that's hindered them for years after year. Get rid of it. Oh, hallelujah. And grow up and be able to stand regardless of what comes against you. Be able to stand and proclaim that this too will pass.
Amen.
greatest word in the Bible, it came to pass. Whatever you're in, it came to pass. He'll move. It'll move. Some of you are in circumstances tonight and you don't know what to do about it. Well, hold on to God's unchanging hand. It'll pass. It'll pass. Oh, Brother McGurr, that was wrote in David's day for the people of David's day. Well, drop down to verse 18 and find out that it's not.
For
this shall be written for the generations to come. Oh, glory to God. In other words, it's not wrote for David's day. It's wrote for this hour. It's wrote for this day. In the hour that God's having mercy upon Zion. And it's time to favor Zion. And he says, this shall be written for the generation to come. Then he climaxes it. Now King James has got a few words there mistranslated. And they had to do it because King James would have killed him if they hadn't have put it in there like he wanted it. But the right interpretation of that is, and the people that be recreated. Oh, glory to God. Are you following me? Did you know that's a recreation of people today? Glory to God. That God is recreating a people through the new birth and through the spiritual growth, that you and I are coming into a new inheritance in God. Oh, hallelujah. Well, praise God. Oh, and the people that shall be recreated shall praise the Lord. Shall praise the Lord. And everybody's not praising the Lord tonight. Every church don't have praisers in it. But every kingdom believing church is filled with praisers. Why? For they have been recreated. And they know the benefits of praising the Lord. Oh, glory to God. Yeah, but I've failed the Lord and I've made Him mad at me. Is that true? Well, turn over and read the 12th chapter of the book of Isaiah. And we'll start with verse 1. We don't have to read much here to get down to what I'm showing you.
And in that day thou shalt say.
Now listen to what he's saying. In that day, which means in this day that we are living.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah.
Say, O Lord, I will praise thee.
I will praise thee, O Lord.
Though
you was angry with me, though I've made you angry, though I've missed you, and I'm going to yet praise you.
Amen.
And he's going to turn his anger.
Thine anger is turned away.
Oh, glory to God. That ought to make you shout.
Amen.
That even though you failed God, even though you've missed the Lord, you feel like he's angry at you, just learn to praise him anyway. You remember when David come out of the Philistine camp where he spittle run down his face and he clawed on the wall like a madman, fringing himself insane? And the king said, get rid of this man. At the very next chapter,
Amen.
David says, Saul, bless the Lord.
Amen.
At all times.
Amen.
But David, what was you doing 5 minutes ago? You was acting crazy. Just forget that.
Amen.
Saul, bless the Lord. soul, bless the Lord. Well, hallelujah. Ain't a one of you in here ain't that crazy at times. There ain't a one of you in here that hadn't made God mad at you at times. How long will I put up with Him? And His mercy is everlasting. Ooh, hallelujah. But He's bringing about a glorious transformation in every last one of us. And we are learning, glory to God, when I don't feel good, I'm going to praise Him anyway. When I don't feel like it, I'm going to praise Him anyway. Hallelujah! Now, let's read the next verse in the 102nd Psalm. 19.
For He has looked down.
He has looked down from the height of His sanctuary.
From heaven the Lord beholds the earth.
How many of you are glad He's looking after His own? He's looking after His own. Oh, praise the Lord. And by looking after His own, He's going to do something.
To hear the groaning of the prisoner.
He hears the groaning of the prisoners that's caught in a prison of flesh. Well, now listen, I used to say, and I thought I had scripture for it. I used to say, I hate my flesh. Because I read in the Bible where Job said he abhorreth his flesh. He cursed the day he is born. And all of a sudden God spoke to me and said, don't say that no more. Because that flesh is a tabernacle to house the soul and the spirit.
Amen.
But I don't like what the flesh does. Don't worry about it. You bring that soul under subjection to the Spirit, then you'll have the majority working with God, and the flesh don't have a Chinaman's change. It has to conform unto the majority. And we're living in the day right now that God is perfecting the flesh. But you said, my soul is not perfected. That's true. I know that. But you see, you have the Holy Spirit. You have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And that soul is what regulates between flesh and spirit. And you learn to feed the spirit and starve the flesh. Well, praise God. And when you do that, the first thing you're going to learn is that your flesh is getting smaller and weaker every day that you live because you're growing in the realms of the Spirit. And another thing you need to get down into your spirit is God doesn't demand perfection before blessing. God doesn't demand that you be perfect before He blesses you. And if you had learned this, you would walk out of here tonight, glory to God, 10 foot tall, and you'd be praising God and just looking for the enemy.
Amen.
You'd be shaking the bushes for the enemy. Where is he? I'll deal with him. Hallelujah. But you don't know the devil is powerful. No, the devil's defeated.
Amen.
And all that you and I have to do is to defeat his influence that he's left upon this earth.
Amen.
Well, glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Some of you are under the influence of Satan and think you're poor.
Yes.
And you think that because you don't have no money.
Amen.
But money is not what makes you poor. Money is not what makes you rich.
Amen.
You first have to become rich in faith.
Yes.
And rich in the wisdom of God.
Amen.
And then when you begin to move into that category, everything opens up for you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And the first thing you realize, you're beginning to get the wealth of the sinner that's laid up for the just.
Yes.
They've got, I tell folks I don't have no savings and don't want none.
Amen.
Why? Well, the wicked people are saving their money up for us.
Yes.
The wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just.
Amen.
Well, if they're going to save theirs, why should I save mine? I'm going to enjoy mine. How many of you want to enjoy what God blesses you with?
Amen.
Oh, but I'm afraid that I'll indulge. Well, it won't hurt you to be happy once in a while. But you have to learn to grow up before you can come be translated into this kingdom of God. And God's having mercy upon you, and he's breaking the, oh, read on, Bob.
To loose those that are appointed to death.
To loose those that are appointed unto death. Now, how many of you understand what he's saying? The Apostle Paul said the wages of sin is what?
Death.
Is death. And so God wants to loose you from that. He's made all the provisions to loose you from the bondage and the appointment of death, which is the results of sin.
Hallelujah.
Well, if he looses you from the appointment of death, then he has to bring you into everlasting life.
Hallelujah.
And that's what he said. Oh, glory, said, I would that you'd have life and life more abundantly. Now, how many of you want to enjoy abundant life? Well, the only way you can enjoy abundant life is that you have come into a place of unlimitedness. No limitation on you. In nothing.
Yes. Yes.
In nothing.
Amen.
Is there a limitation on you?
Hallelujah.
Well, praise God.
Amen.
Praise God.
God.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Help us to walk in an unlimitedness of our God.
Thank you, Lord.
Well, hallelujah. How in the world can I do that? Very easily. Learn to turn loose what you don't have.
Amen.
And you'll have what you don't have.
Amen.
What are you saying? I'm saying give beyond what you're able to give.
Amen.
And don't allow what you have to regulate what you give. The Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. This is a good one to read. Praise God. Second Corinthians chapter 8. Moreover, brethren, I would have you to wit what? of the grace of God. Now, he's not talking about saving grace here. Hello. He's not talking about that at all. You'd have to go down to verse 9 to find out what kind of grace he's talking about.
For you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he were rich, yet for your sakes he became poor.
Now, how many of you understand what he's saying there? He is saying, do you understand the grace that Jesus had? You don't understand. How many of you know Jesus didn't have to have grace for forgiveness?
Amen.
Hello?
Amen.
And how many of you know he didn't have to have grace for anything else? But what he was saying is, you'd have to go back to Hebrews 1 to find out what I'm talking about, that man could not look upon God and live. So God just pinched off a part of himself and transferred it into the womb of Mary, and she brought forth the Son of God. And he was a manifestation of God. Now, he was the grace of God manifest. Hallelujah. Now, he said, I want you to understand that grace.
Yes.
How many of you understand what he said? He wants you to be partakers of that same grace.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And if I'm going to be partakers of that same grace, I've got to manifest God.
Amen. That's right.
Well, how can I manifest God? By walking in the Spirit. By growing up out of babyhood. Quit talking like a baby. Quit thinking like a baby. Oh, hallelujah. And start thinking like a man. Oh, glory to God. How many of you want me to continue on this? Now, I want to show you something here. Verse 2.
How that in that great, in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality.
Other words, if you know the grace that I'm talking about, the grace of God, the life of God imputed in you, it will bring you out of poverty. It will bring you and deliver you from poverty into the great liberality of your giving.
Amen.
In other words, if you don't know how to give, you don't have the grace of God. Hallelujah. I don't guess I should have got into this, but you see, the high priest could only get through the veil when he had the blood with him. And that veil was about 6 inches thick, and 2 teams of horses could not tear it or rent it, pulling against one another. And yet, when the appointed time for the high priest to go into the holies of holies, he just walked right through that veil with the blood. And he went in on the right side of the tabernacle or the holy place. Why did he go in on the right side? Because the furniture arrangement was that on the left was the lampstand, and in the middle was the golden altar of incense, and over to the right was the table of shewbread that all of the Israelites, every tribe, had to bake a loaf of bread from the manna that they had gathered, roll it out in the fine material and bake a loaf of bread and bring it in and lay it on this table of shewbread. Or showing. And the high priest went right by that when he entered into the holy place. Then when he come out, he came out right by the table of shewbread. Now why? Well, that table of shewbread is the same height as the Ark of the Covenant. Same level. What is he doing? He's telling you, you are no more redeemed than you are in your giving. Well, hallelujah. If you can't trust God and give to God ungrudgingly, you're not even saved. Now you're getting quiet. But that's the word of God. Hallelujah. And some folks are so curious that they want to analyze how much bread the preacher has eaten by measuring the manure and the tract. How many of you know what I'm talking about? They're afraid the preacher's going to get more.
Amen.
Wake up, saints.
Amen.
Because all of your redemption hinges upon what you are putting on that altar of shewbread. And you are required to put a loaf there. And nobody can eat it but the priest. You know the story of how David, running from Saul, come down to Abimelech and asked him, did he have anything to eat? He said, if your men have kept themselves from women, I have the holy bread here. David said, surely we have done that. And said, give us the bread. He said, it's not lawful for you to eat it. But David said, we're going to eat it anyway. And Jesus justified him for doing that. But David knew if you're neglecting and rejecting the image that's alive, you're going to reject the Holy One anyway. And so what good is the type of the bread if you're rejecting the living sacrifice and image? God is doing a work in the heart of individuals. Hallelujah. And this is exactly what's going to break the covenant of death with you. Read on.
For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond that power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty.
In other words, what they did was, how many of you understand, saints, Macedonia was the poorest saints there was. They was the poorest people on earth. Why was they poor? The Roman soldiers, every time they left Rome, come through Macedonia and ravished the land, took everything that they could find, and left the people with nothing. And when they come back from the battle, they done the same thing. And Paul come in there, and this poor, a poorest country, and was taking up an offering for the poor saints in Jerusalem. And what did they do? They fell on Paul's neck weeping and said, take our offering. Please take our offering. Begging him to do this. And then Paul said they didn't only just do what they could do, but beyond their power. Now, the only way you can give more money than you have got on you is to give a pledge. I'm going to do more than this. This is what I can do now, but I'm going to do more. How many of you determined to do more? I want to see your hand if you're determined to do more for God. Now, if you don't have your hand up, you can forget prosperity. Because you're not going to have it. But if you give more to God, hallelujah! My Father, just suppose that everybody that's in this fellowship would just sign a pledge card with Andrew and said, I'm going to give from 2,000 to 5,000 pounds that we can establish a training center. Well, hallelujah. But I don't have that. I didn't say you did. But whenever you do this, it'll come. It'll come. But it only comes whenever you rise up and step out on territory you know you can do nothing with. Praise God. And you step out and know that God's going to do more than you even think He can. How many of you know God's bigger than your thinking? God's larger. Oh, hallelujah. You and I are in the process now of the mercies of God upon Zion. And anytime God's mercy comes, whatever you set out to do, you're going to do, because God's going to see to it, amen, that you're going to fulfill. You see, in the process, we have set out to do things at home when there was no money, but we've set out to do it. When we come over on the property that we were on now, we didn't have no money, but we start digging a footing. We worshiped in a little building, 32 by 72, for 10 years. And God spoke us at a time now to build bigger. And so we built a bigger facility and built 10 rooms. Nice rooms with bathroom, shower, and all that in the rooms. Now we've got 11. And the ground is leveled up to build, oh, I don't know, 20, maybe 20 something more room. We get home, we're going to start on that.
Amen.
But how are you going to pay for it? Ain't my business.
Amen.
That's God's business.
Hallelujah.
And the Lord knows what He's doing.
Amen.
You see, we charge nobody anything for anything, no charge on nothing.
Yes,
we are kingdom oriented. Praise the Lord.
The Lord.
You stay on our grounds free. You eat free. And this is what God's going to do here in this place.
Amen.
Going to raise up a facility.
Yes.
That whenever we can come here as a group, everything will be taken care of. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And if it's not taken care of, then we'll give in the offering until it is taken care of.
Amen.
How many of you understand this is the will of God?
Amen.
So God is saying, I want to loose them that are appointed to death.
Yes, that's right.
He wants to release you from the appointment of death.
Yes.
Oh, glory to God. Well, somebody said, well, I have been weaned from the tradition. Well, I don't know. See, the Bible talks about a double weaning. Isaiah 28:9. It's all right to shout if you've been weaned.
Whom shall the
Whom shall he teach knowledge?
Now listen to what he said. And whom shall the Lord teach knowledge?
And whom shall he make to understand doctrine?
And who will he let to understand doctrine?
Them that are weaned from the milk.
Them that are weaned from the milk.
And drawn from the breast.
And drawn from the breast. Now that's a double weaning. You might be weaned from the milk, but you're still hooked up to the system.
Amen.
See, God's going to have to get you out of that system. And if he can wean you from the breast of the system, the mother harlot, then you refuse to have it piped in through the male. Then you have got your double weaning.
Yes, Lord.
Well, glory to God. You understand what I'm saying? How many of it's a possibility that you can be drawn from the breast, quit nursing the breast, but be on a bottle. And this is what's happening in a church room. You have never saw so many people coming out of denominations, but denominations is not out of them. They're having their little rules and regulations piped into them by the bottle. And they'll read that and then they'll get up and preach it, not in our assembly. We draw a line. We don't believe in that.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, I'll just go where I can preach what I want to preach. Sayonara.
Yeah. Glory.
It's time you learn to be submitted.
Amen.
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 I don't do it.
Amen.
We have an elders meeting. I submit to the elders. What God's showing me.
Amen.
And if God shows them something, they submit it, and we together go over it.
Amen.
How many of you know this is not a one-man show?
Right.
It's plurality ministry.
Right.
Praise God. Well, one brother asked me, he said, well, the church is still in authority. That I said, right. Sure. Well, then all the ordinances of the church should be carried out. I said, that's all right. I said, it's just like come November in America, we'll have an election. And whoever's elected president takes over January the 20th. And so that's from November to January, we've got two presidents. We've got president-elect and president-reigning. Now that's the way we are right now. We've got church reigning and kingdom-elect.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah!
Well, what's going on in the kingdom-elect? God's gathering his board together, his officials together. And he's gathering together those that's going to rule and reign with him. And he's appointing them over 10 cities or 100 cities, 20 cities. Read the Bible. That's the way God did it. Hallelujah. And that's the way he's doing it in this hour. He's appointing. Hallelujah. My God. And I got to go a little deeper than that now. Not only does that kingdom rule in every section, kingdom churches is what's setting the pace now for what's going to happen in the future. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Now, you can have city ordinances, and we subject to them. But we know sooner or later we don't take over the whole thing. We're taking over. I don't know about how this area runs, but I know who's going to run it. God's fixing to turn the thing over to Andrew. Amen. Then there's going to be people beating a path to his door. Oh, hallelujah. But you see, the kingdom ruling does away with all of this man stuff. And if God can't be glorified, hallelujah, it's gone out the window. God is doing the job right. Glory to God. Hallelujah. How many of you understand God said, if you be faithful, I'll make you ruler over 10 cities, 20 cities. You see, Sister Alina sitting there down on the East Coast, there's a whole lot of folks think God set them over the East Coast. But see, we kingdom folks know who's over the East Coast. Certain territories she's over. Well, hallelujah. Oh, I don't believe in no woman preacher. Ain't you glad God didn't ask your opinion when he when he called folk? Well, hallelujah. The great message of the resurrection was preached first one by a woman. Somebody said, well, they didn't have no business in the church. It's because you haven't read. Paul says in Romans, you assist Phoebe in all the business that she has. She was looking out of the business. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. It's just this kingdom taking over. Praise God. And whether you like it or whether you don't like it, God says there's neither male nor female in Christ. Preaching this in Athens way back in the 50s, and one Baptist preacher called me up the next morning and said, I enjoyed the service last night, but I don't believe what you preach. I said, well, how did you enjoy something that wasn't scripture? Well, I don't agree with your philosophy that there are neither male nor female. I said, why? Well, he said, if there's no difference, why did you marry a woman? Now I said, brother, if you are that ignorant, if you'll come over here, I'll explain the matter to you. I didn't marry in the spirit. I married in the flesh. And God made the two flesh one flesh. Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. Don't get so super duper, amen, that you don't have common sense to go with it. In Christ there is neither male nor female. I've been in a lot of churches and they'd say, now we want to have a love feast. We want the men to hug the men and the women hug the women. And don't you get mixed up. And I immediately would tell the pastor, I've already mixed up. I'm going to hunt the prettiest women that I can see to hug. If you don't have no more salvation than that, I tell you, we need to lay hands on you. Hallelujah. We just don't see any difference. Well, hallelujah. Now, I'm not going into all the small details of this. I don't think I have to. Hallelujah. But it's time the church got enough of God. Oh, hallelujah. That you could grow up and become full-grown man. Paul said, when I grew up, become a man, I put away childish things. Now, how many of you want to pull away childish things? Well, glory be to God forever. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, glory to God. God just spoke to me. It's all right if I obey the Lord and minister. Would you stand? You. Would you stand? Sister Pat, you stand. Hallelujah. The sister here with the red jacket on, stand. 1, 2, 3, 4. There's one more here. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Would you stand? Well, glory. The Holy Ghost has just x-rayed this congregation, and he told me that there were 5 that needed the deliverance for the pressure that is down in the lower part of your stomach. And some of this pressure is in between the upper and the lower stomach. Talking to you 5 that's standing, and if this fits others, all you have to do is just stand up and get in on this miracle. Well, hallelujah. I'm going to wait just a moment. Amen. All right, there's 2 more, 3 more. There's 4 more. This is going to be a mass miracle. It's going to be a mass miracle. Glory, glory, glory. All right. Some of you need to put your hand right here in the middle of your stomach. That's, in other words, it's causing a digestion problem that boils up and won't let you sleep. Now, if this is your problem, put your hand right in the center of your stomach between the upper and the lower. Now, we're going to move down to the pressure points right in here. Put your hand down there. Now, my Lord, in the name of Jesus, you are delivering this pressure right now. You're setting them free. You're setting them free. In Jesus' name. The miraculous name of Jesus. Woo! Be healed, saith the Lord.
Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. The Bible declares you can be seated. The Bible declares that there shall be no sickness in Zion. There shall be no affliction in Zion. Well, glory to God. Now that doesn't mean the influence of Satan is not going to try to afflict you. It's going to try to. But you don't have to accept it. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, glory be to God. Glory be to God. He is in this house tonight. He's in this house tonight. I say he's in the house tonight. He's in the house tonight. Whoa, hallelujah. Tanda masiti kabohoriatai. Glory to God. I'm a believing right now for renewal in your physical being. Hallelujah. In the physical being, God is going to give you a renewing. The pain is gone in the chest. And the illness or the effects of it in the stomach is gone. You have a new body. Now go and eat what you couldn't eat before. Well, amen. Praise the Lord. 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 Every one of you that want God to open the windows of heaven upon you, amen, that this is going to be a year of jubilee for you. The rest of this year, all of your debts are going to be forgiven. You're going to have a restoration. Will you stand? My God, my God. My God, my God. Now, how many of you really believe that? Let me see your hand. You really believe it? You really believe it? Come on, you really believe it? Well, everybody that believes it, come and bring $100 to sow the seed. Well, we're going to do it. Bless God. I said, bless God. Come on, saints. Some of you really don't even realize what God's done for you in this meeting. Come right on. Put that $100 in there. You're not rushing me like I thought you're supposed to.
We'll take IOUs.
Yeah, put your name and address on there if you don't have the money.